Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Open your Bibles with me this morning before we get into our text this morning to Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah. It's right before we get to the end of the Old Testament, right before Malachi. Zechariah chapter 9. It's kind of interesting when we look at this and we read the account and we see the account of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. The Bible says in John chapter 12 that even his disciples did not have understanding until after he was glorified. But over 500 years prior, the prophet Zechariah wrote in Zechariah 9:9, says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, because thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." So the children of Israel and all the people were expecting Jesus to come right there as king, but the price hasn't been paid yet. Amen? That the price for salvation had not been purchased, it had not been taken care of. And the Lord said something to me this week, and I want you to get a hold of something today in this message today. I want you to get a hold of this statement. He said, "He gave us the preview. Do not miss the premiere." God has given us, in His Word, a preview. But one day the eastern skies will split and he'll come on a white stallion, amen, and he'll come back for his bride, amen. And so he says, get a hold of it, don't miss the preview, because what we're reading, what we're teaching is the preview of the world premiere. And you've never witnessed a world premiere like the world premiere that's going to take place in that day. That's going to be the most exciting time for the church, hallelujah. So today, with this in mind, because God always gives us a foreshadow, and even John was there when Jesus came into Jerusalem, but God gave him a heavenly vision in the Isle of Patmos when John the Beloved was there. So look with me in Revelations chapter 7 for our text today. Revelations chapter 7. The Word of God says in verse number 9, he says, "And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." You know, one of the things that really speaks to my heart, you know, when you look at that, is the Lord says he's described us in the palm of his hand. Amen? And I don't know about you, but that sounds like a pretty big palm to me. If every last one of us are ascribed in his hand, I would say God's a pretty big God, wouldn't you? But he says, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom." Oh, what did we just sing this? "Blessed wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." Amen. So as we're singing this, we can look at the preview of us being before the throne of God, singing this song that we even sang today. Blessing and honor, glory and power,
riches and wisdom and strength. Blessing and honor, glory and power, riches and wisdom and strength be unto you who sits at the right hand of God.
Hallelujah. Amen. The title of this morning's message is Palm Sunday, S-O-N-D-A-Y. Amen. It's Palm Jesus Day, the Son of God. And there's three things I want to share out of this text today. To redeem, to robe, and to reflect. Amen? To redeem, to robe, and to reflect. Can we lift our word and make a declaration together here today? Repeat after me, say, I believe. This is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word, and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. So speak to me, Lord. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, that you sent your word here today, Father God. And that you care about every last one, not only in this room, but that hears this word through the web. And Father, I pray that the words that will be spoken come from you and not from me. So speak to me today, Father God. May the words that are spoken bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. You know, one of the things that Jesus was coming in, he hadn't been to the cross. We're going to celebrate the resurrection next Sunday. Hallelujah. So in this week, we're not only including him coming into Jerusalem, but we're including going to the cross. Amen. Because he went to the cross to redeem us. He said, and I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people and tongues, stood before the throne and the Lamb. In other words, they had been redeemed. In other words, to redeem something is to pay for. Look at the one next to you and say, your salvation has been paid for. You know, the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 43, giving us a preview. And verse number one. The word of God says this, but now thus saith the Lord, the creator, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by name. Look at the one next to you and say, God has called you by name. He's already paid the price. He says in John 15, he says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Look at the one next to you and say, God has ordained you. He says, I have called thee by name, thou art mine. Look at the one next to you and say, you belong to Jesus. I belong to him too. If faith comes by hearing, sometimes we have to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. And so God wants us to speak it out, to say it out. Sometimes we get a little timid around people and we're afraid to talk. Hey, guess what you can do in church? You can let it flow. Amen? Hey, you're around. Everybody loves you. Everybody is wanted. Everybody is needed in the room. Everyone is important. Amen? So when I was looking at to redeem or to be purchased, in Galatians chapter 3, verse number 13, he says this, the Apostle Paul, right to the church of Galatia, he says this, he says, Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law. What was the law? The law identified sin. Without the law, there was no right or wrong. Hello? He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, and that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You know, I thank God for the Holy Ghost. You know, the Holy Ghost is our earnest deposit. God gave us a deposit that brings forth his promises. Look at your neighbor and say, all the promises of God in him, which is Christ Jesus, is yes and amen. So give him praise. You know, the reason I said, you know, Isaiah's prophesying forth and giving a preview of something that was about to happen. And he was prophesying of Jesus coming and paying the price. And Isaiah chapter 51, now, since Jesus has paid the price and we have been redeemed from the curse of sin, sin no longer has dominion over us. He says in Isaiah 51, verse 11, he says this. He says, therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. An everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy. And sorrow and mourning and sorrow shall flee, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Amen? So, if I really have revelation and understanding, which the Father wants you and I to understand, that he's redeemed us from sin, amen, through Christ Jesus, so that we ought to be celebrating with joy in the house. Hello? The problem with most men and women of God is they're waiting for something to come to rejoice over, and God says he's already done it. When he said it was finished, it was done, he said we ought to start rejoicing and giving him praise. And in other words, this is one of the greatest days in history. The prophets, Isaiah had prophesied 1,000 years or so before this happened. And all of a sudden, we are the afterworks of Calvary. Amen. With all those men and women that went before it came, we come after it's happened, and we get to celebrate it and live a life of victory. All them were hoping that it came. We already got it. Does anybody got the Holy Ghost in here? Come on, does anybody have the Holy Ghost in here? Are you a child of God? You got the Holy Ghost? Give him a shout of praise in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, one of the things with the Lord, let me say this to you. If you can't be thankful for what you already have, God can't give you anything else. Do you need something? Start giving him praise and thanksgiving for what you already have. Hallelujah. He tells me, as I come to him, I must come to him with an attitude of gratitude. Amen. Sometimes I've got to change it. I have to have an attitude adjustment. Does anybody have to have an attitude adjustment? Something get on your nerves today, maybe? Something didn't happen the way you wanted it to happen? Somebody just rolled on you the wrong way? God says get an attitude adjustment. All you have to do is to have an attitude adjustment as look back to the cross of Calvary. Look what's been done. Your sins has been removed as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. Hallelujah. You're a living testimony of his goodness and his mercy and his grace. Amen. The Lord changed this up. I thought I was bringing this message in one direction, and the Holy Spirit just shifted it. Huh? You know, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. There's problem with doctrine for a correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. You know? I thought maybe when I was looking at this, there was reproof coming. God says there's no reproof coming. Amen? Huh? He didn't send the word here to reprove you. He said that we're here, the word here today, so you can recognize who you are in Christ Jesus. Amen? That you can celebrate him. I don't know about you, but if you get a revelation and understanding, it changes the look on your face. Hey, if you frown all the time, you're gonna have a bunch of wrinkles, and you're gonna have a sagging chin. Exercise those face muscles. Put a smile on your face. Look at the one next to you and give him a big smile. Is it okay being happy? You know, when I was in darkness, I tried to do so many things to try to make me happy. I got stoned to try to make me happy. I drank to make me happy. I did drugs to make me happy. But none of it ever made me happy. I got connected with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and I'm the happiest man in the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. Those things were only temporary. We're serving something that's got eternal. Amen. So he says first, he said in our text that there's a great cloud of witnesses in the throne of God. And they're white, robed with white raiment. And I love that because they're clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. And secondly, I have here to robe. And when I was thinking about this, the Lord took me to Matthew chapter 17. And Jesus gave us a preview. Why did we get the preview? Preview? So we don't miss the premiere, right? Are you with me? And verse number 2, it says this. It says, and he was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. In other words, the disciples got to witness a picture of heaven. Heaven came and met Jesus on earth. And the Lord speaks about us. We were in Revelation, and we have a picture of the throne of God. And the Bible says we're in front of him in his throne. And we're dressed in white raiment. We have white robes. We're robed with his righteousness. So look with me in Isaiah chapter 61, where the prophet Isaiah prophesied with a preview. The preview is this, in verse number 10. He says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he had clothed me with the garments of salvation. He have covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. So he gives us a preview. She tells us to get the preview. But then he gives us an afterthought in Revelation chapter 19 after the premiere. After the world premiere. Are you listening? He says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, he says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and her wife and his wife have made herself ready. We are the wife of Christ. We're the bride of Christ, the church, the body of Christ. Not the building, everyone in the building. Amen? He says, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Look to the one next to you and say, he has redeemed you. And he has robed you. He has covered you with the robe of his righteousness. His blood has covered you and removed your sins. Amen. I wish I could sing a harmony song. Yeah, you know, but I don't want to embarrass her. Always, me and her favorite song is, in my heart there rings a melody, precious harmony. The reason that is there a little girl in here, and her name's Harmony, and she's sweet. Amen. Some people say, listening to the web, and say, well, why'd he do that? Where'd that come from? So the Lord says this to us. He says, hey, we have to recognize that we've been redeemed, that we've been robed, that he's got us covered. And all of a sudden, if we have a revelation and understanding, truly, that we've been redeemed and our sins have been forgiven, and that we're covered, we're robed with his righteousness, all of a sudden, there's a different reflection that comes off of us to reflect something is different. Amen. We become a reflection of him. Amen. So look with me in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. Say, this is for a checkup from the neck up. Okay. This is the parable of the weed and the weeds. And Jesus gives he expounds on it and interprets it for them as he explains. In verse 37, he said, he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. And therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world, at the world premiere. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which doeth iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. But he says, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Look at the one next to you and say, your future is bright. Your future is so bright, you're going to need shades. Amen. Amen. So the glory of the Lord, Jesus said his kingdom is going to shine as the light in the sky. Amen. So with this in mind, I love what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 18. We're looking at a reflection. He says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, one day, the Bible says Enoch walked with God. And he continued to walk with God. And sometimes he got so close to heaven that he just went on there. The Bible says he walked with God and was not. Amen. And sometimes as we're walking with the Lord and he transforms us, the glory of the Lord, amen. I'm not saying that we're always supposed to glow, but I'm telling you something. When the joy of the Lord is flowing through your hearts and lives, you glow in the midst of wherever you go. Amen. Amen. And in other words, if we truly believe that we've been redeemed and we truly believe that we're robed with his righteousness, then we're going to begin to reflect the things of the heaven. We're going to because that's where we're from. We're heavenites here on earth. Amen. We're a new creation. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principalities and powers. Amen. That we're seated in heavenly places in him. So when we're looking at this in 2 Corinthians 3:18, look at me in Romans chapter 8. I have to go here too. Dang it, Lord, can we just stay with the glory part? Now, got to go here too, because God wants you to understand something. The Apostle Paul says in verse number 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How many children of God do we have in the room? Let me see your hand. If you don't see your hand, I'm going to come and pray for you. Okay. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. But he says this, if so be that we suffer with him. God never says that we're not going to go through some things in this life. He says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. We're going to suffer some things. But he says this. He says, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And the disciples in John 12, in this count of Palm Sunday, they didn't really recognize what was taking place till they witnessed Jesus glorified. Amen? And Jesus has already been glorified, and he's alive and he's well. He's alive in each and every one of us. You know what the Lord's trying to do to you today? He's trying to encourage you. Amen. He's trying to help you understand who you are. He's trying to help you understand that the things that you're going through are only temporary. They shall too pass. So he tells us in Colossians chapter 3, and if you don't like the message, take it up with the Father. It's about him, not me. We have some instructions that the Apostle Paul has given to the church at Colossae in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. He says, if, either are or you're not, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. So in closing today, what is the Father saying to you and I today? He said Christ came to redeem you and I from our sin, to robe us with a robe of righteousness so that we may reflect his goodness. And you know what this does? What this says in closing, it calls for you and I to react. Amen? In other words, God sent forth his word for us to react upon it. And if we don't react upon the word, it really doesn't have an effect. Jesus said in John 14, 6, he said, for I am the way. He said to them, I am the way. He is the only way for us to be redeemed. He is the truth. He's the only truth that brings us his righteousness. He is the life that we're reflecting. We live in the abundance of. He came to give life in the abundance thereof. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth in me shall never die. God wants you to understand that he's already paid the price to redeem us, to robe us, so that we can reflect his goodness, and it calls for you and I just to react. You know what the reaction God's calling for today? To give him praise. Wait a minute. Palm Sunday, when he was making his entry, they were waving palm branches. And they were crying out, Hosanna, adoration and praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the price hadn't been paid yet. He hadn't went to the cross. But today, as we celebrate Palm Sunday, it is It's been complete. So we ought to start praising him. We ought to start giving him thanks. We ought to give him shouts of praise and hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And today, as we gather to take communion today, we're taking it in a different light. We're taking it with our hearts of thanksgiving, that of recognizing that the price has been paid because of his broken body and his shed blood. We have freedom. And for who the Son is made free is free indeed. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I've never been so free in my life. Hallelujah. I've never been so free in my life. Hallelujah. So as we can come today and we're taking communion together, we're recognizing the broken body, the shed blood, but we're taking it out of an attitude of gratitude. So can we gather around the altar this morning?